back. Episode 2 of the True Grit Podcast. It is yours truly, Caleb Annual, here with my boys, Adrian Labra and Clay Boley. How you doing, fellas?
We're back, man. We're committed to this pod. Just a quick shout out to everyone that's giving us awesome feedback. We've got listeners all over the state. Shout out to those in New York, Texas, Tennessee. Glad you guys are listening in.
Yeah, thanks for all the listens last week and those who've reached out with questions as far and also feedback. So how we can make this better and get people, more and more people hype about this. So we appreciate everyone's feedback.
We're in New York, Adrian?
Yeah, bro. Family cousins in Walkill. He's listening in. Cousin Alec.
Oh, let's go. Detroiter? Detroiter in New York?
He's from Cadillac.
Welcome to the pod, man. Welcome to the pod. All right. So first things first, we're going to start off with a short apology. The music that you've been hearing on both of these episodes so far has been produced by none other than Gabe Roberts, a.k.a. Faceless. Appreciate the beats. Keep them coming. We'll try to keep them fresh. Or if we find one that we like, we will lock that down for all intros and outros. What do you guys think? Sound good?
Yeah, thanks, man. Awesome beats.
Awesome.
All right, so here we go. Episode 2. This episode is going to be called Hutchinson Arrives. Let's start with something good. There's not a lot here, guys. How do you think Adrian Hutchinson did quarter one? Let's go.
Man, insane. Like, I think I texted you guys. I'm like, Hutch is going to get like two more sacks the way he, you know, you could tell he was in a flow. Like, he was just seeing everything. And then after the game, you know, he gave credit to his teammates on the D-line, DJ Reader, you know, McNeil. They were taking double teams so that he could have more opportunities. So that was great to see.
Because of him, man, he was a drive stopper. So that game could have gotten bad so quick. But field goals, I held him to a punt. That's such a big, it's so big. Three is so different than seven. That's all because of Hutch, man. That guy was... Like, I think Adrian said the best. He's a bona fide superstar. And when he first got drafted to Detroit, he was like, all right, yeah, of course, going to pick him. He's from Michigan. But, man, what a number two pick by Detroit. I mean, he's really – I apologize. I know last week I was talking about his missed tackles, but, man, what a game. What a game.
Speaking of that, how's Walker doing in the number one pick in Jacksonville? Is he doing anything?
I was actually just thinking about that today, and I was like, I was gonna look it up before we went live, and I totally forgot.
I mean, I don't think so. You don't really hear about him, so it's not like I watch Jacksonville games, but
right. Just, I mean, I haven't heard either. So just think of that, guys. You know, Aiden fell to number two. We all thought. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I thought Aiden was gone, number one.
Me too.
And we were.
Yes.
We were gonna get the guy that went to New York, but. Here we are. Yeah, we got our hometown boy, and he's just really the only thing that kept us in that game, honestly, on the whole defensive side.
100%.
I mean, rookie Terrion Arnold still looked a little rusty. He did get called on some PIs, which I think were just, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the refs have it out. Like,
this what did you guys think of that first PI call on
the
Terrion?
One where just like, that
deep one in the end zone? It was like the first one.
No, it was light. They're all light.
Yeah, they were light last week. They're just picking on the guy, and it just.
I didn't think that was a PI call, honestly.
Yeah,
no.
Like, they were both grabbing each other's hand. He didn't really grab a jersey, and then he went for the ball. I thought it was clean.
Yep. So, I agree. Refs were a little shisty. So, first quarter highlights. Well, I literally just put Hutch. I mean, that's
Hutch. I need to go back and look at it more, but I know Goff said he thought there was a pass interference on the his first interception. Yeah, so I agree 100% on that too.
It was a hold. They stopped J-Mo out of his break. That is caught 99.9% of the time. Those referees are looking at those breaks to see if anybody touches or slows you down. The dude literally put two hands around J-Mo. J-Mo gets out of it, and the ball is 10 yards in front of him into the D-back's arms. Absolutely egregious.
I'll say it because golf can't, because golf will get fined, but Patty Mahomes is getting that call, man. He's getting that call.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, if you put both those calls together, like, you know, the first one, I'll give it to you, everyone else, you know, 50-50, whatever. But then the second one, there's no way. Like, that just ruined the whole atmosphere in the stadium. You know, it kind of takes away the crowd at that moment, and everybody feels deflated. So it was a rough start.
Was it just me, or did when Goff threw that second pick, I knew it when it left his hand?
Oh yeah, it was the ball was this. There's good and bad times. So that ball was in the air for forever, and we knew where it was going to land. I was like, "That's
Goff."
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if Stafford throws off his back foot, I don't fear it. When Rodgers throws off his back foot, I don't fear it. When Jared Goff throws off his back foot, I'm looking for a pick. And he didn't necessarily throw off his back, but he was flat-footed, and he did not have his weight where it should have been on the left foot with a clean pocket. It was dirty. He got hit, and it just fluttered up in the air, and was just, once again, egregious. Just take the sack, kick the field goal, and live to play another day.
Or just sort of the sideline, man. We have not tested, which I know that's later in the game, but we haven't tested Bates' leg yet, so that would have been a perfect opportunity, man, and they went down the toilet.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, speaking of, I mean, Bates, dude, he's 100% so far through two games. Yep. He's looking good. I mean, through the preseason, he had me really nervous.
Yep.
I mean, when he steps up to kick, I'm still a little nervous, but he's, you know, he's gaining our trust, and he's looking good.
I think those 30-yarders are tougher for him. Like, he's got the leg, but he's hitting the gimmies, which he should. Or, I mean, it's gimmies now because kickers nowadays, man, watching these other games, these guys are hitting 55-plus like it's nothing. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like that Texans kicker last night, good grief.
Yeah, he hit, three or five beyond, was two beyond 55, something like that.
Yeah, it was like a 55 and a 59 and a 51 good grief.
And I got him on fantasy.
So I was like, man, somebody's got him off their ass happy.
You got me 20, like 20 points.
I was like 20 points, man.
Wow, good stuff. All right, so we need to see. So this comes around to coach, right? So he purposely did not put Bates out there for that. He didn't trust him. I don't know if it would have been a 62 or a 59, whatever it was, but he didn't trust him. Even though I think this dude, like I said on the first pod, he could hit a 70. He's got the leg for a 70. They don't trust him. They didn't want to flip the field in case he missed it. So let's get into the end of the second quarter and the horrible, horrendous trash. It reminded me of Dallas of postseason 2 years ago, right? Where they get up and they're trying to spike and they take the ball from the referee. No. I mean, it was the exact same thing. What are your guys' thoughts of clock management and Dan Campbell?
I don't know, man. I was just like, now that we watched the whole game, that last drive, I just felt like that was the last drive of the game, where Goff was just doing those underthrows and we were just not going to get anywhere. And that's exactly what Tampa Bay wanted. They were leaving the underthrows open to just cover them up, tackle them, and that worked. So, you know, Goff threw under, I think it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, and clock's running. We got no timeouts. There's just confusion. And Campbell said at the end of the game, you know, the post-game interview, that it was all on him. Yeah. I think he was trying to rush. He was excited, and he tried to get the special teams on the field. So everybody just listened to coach, and that's when we got the 10-second runoff, dude.
So here's my conspiracy theory, Clay. I want you to answer what you think here. Coach took it all. However,
Dave Phipp. Mm-hmm.
He is in charge of special teams. He's in charge of that field goal unit. Now, granted, everything comes from Campbell, but if you're down to 6 seconds or whatever it was, and they get stopped and they don't have a timeout, there is no possible way in God's green earth that you can run 11 men onto that field and run 11 men off of that field, or vice versa with a couple numbers, and set up in 6 seconds. It's a Dallas Cowboy mistake that they made. There should have been no heist. There should have been no rush to rush that field goal unit on. You know the only play is a spike.
Yep.
So what we know sitting in our house in Michigan, in Grand Rapids and Grand Blank, we know.
Yeah.
But yet a coach, and this is only Dan Campbell's downfall, is he gets, I don't know, he just loses his mind sometimes and makes
He gets emotional. I think going back, still in the, I think it was early in the second quarter, was a fake punt. We got to talk about the fake punt, which I think he felt the game slipping away at that point. So he just did it. Because, like, hey, if they get the ball back to them, they're going to score the way our deep, you know, we have no momentum.
Yeah.
Crowds, we're losing the crowd. So he does a fake punt, gets the crowd right back. And he just plays, but he plays with that same emotion. And when times that you're like, dude, just take a breath, man.
Yeah.
Take a breath. He just lets
the fake punt, though.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love it too. Because it did exactly what we needed to do. It brought the energy right back. Like, hey.
Like, it totally surprised me, caught me off guard. Because, you know, I was like down the dumps watching this.
I was just praying that to get blocked. Don't block, don't block. And I'm like, Jack oh my Fox, goodness.
Dude, throws a beauty down the middle. And our rookie, our fourth round pick, Vaki, man.
What a play, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always a conspiracy theorist. I'm trying to be optimistic. as much as I love the play, it worked out, right? If it doesn't work out, we're all killing Dan Campbell.
Worked out, it's a whole
we're killing them again. Because Jack Fox threw that ball, I believe, from his own 10.
Yeah. It was on 20.
They set
he
up
was
the
on
snap
the
on the 20.
Yeah.
So when he released
that's how confident he is in Jack's performance.
Yeah, he can throw. Like, I mean, his ball is prettier than Goff's. That ball was a spiral.
It was, dude.
I haven't seen
quarterback
Goff
in
throw
high
a spiral all year. He's got lame ducks. But anyway, he throws it. Imagine if he had a little bit more accuracy and he hit Vaki a little earlier, Vaki's gone.
Yes.
Because the ball led him to the DB. Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
So what's your full conspiracy on it, on the play? Just the emotions of Campbell gets to him?
No, not so much as conspiracy, just if the play was perfected, you're literally looking at 6 points, just because if Jack Fox throws that ball a little bit better, that's my only conspiracy, which is not really a conspiracy. It's just,
Saying
that, but like, and then also, man, those 3 points, you're down by one in the fourth, and you're thinking you're kicking a field
right.
goal,
right? Yep,
man.
So, well, coaching. So let's talk about Jared Goff. We talked about the coach. Yeah. What are your thoughts about Jared Goff, Adrian?
Oh, Jared had a bad day, dude. He had a bad day, which I was telling Eden, I was like, that after that first interception, like, I do appreciate that Goff is, he's California cool. Like, he throws a pick, it's not going to get in his head. He's going to move past it. But that's when you kind of know he's kind of off. Like, whether it's depth perception or just timing with his wide receivers. So then he threw a second pick. And I don't know. He looked kind of shaky back there. He had an off game.
And then along with that, with getting his head, I think he hasn't happened very much in his time with Detroit. But I think he let people get to him the amount of times St. Brown got the ball against the Rams. He threw the ball 19 times to St. Brown. That's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that stat today. It's astonishing. Yeah, it's almost like they said, Jared said, okay, well, I hit J-Mo so many times last week. I'm sorry, Amon-Ra. I got to feed you this week, right? And then next week, LaPorta still doesn't have but 3 catches for the year. So now he's 2 catches. Yeah.
Something like that. 2 or 3, something like that. Something weird.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if LaPorta's got 9-10 catches next week for 100-plus yards.
What do you guys think it is? It's like, do you think because of the emergence of J-Mo, now there's kind of like they're trying to figure out their balance of targets? Because last year, you know, they're rolling and J-Mo's just like an accessory. But now that, you know, he's a full Ferrari, they're kind of trying to figure out how to spread out these plays and targets.
That or one of just the money. Like, dude, just because the guy just got paid doesn't mean he needs the ball 20 times a game. Like maybe that's I thought the same thing, but with that, Raymond, man. Raymond, he caught some nice balls yesterday, man. I mean, I like a lot of we're a lot of losing Reynolds was big. Raymond does not have the body of Reynolds, but dude, he caught some big catches yesterday.
Bro, Tim Patrick was in there. Y'all see that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got like two, three balls.
Grabbed a
Yep.
couple. One more would have been nice on that sideline.
I know, man.
In my opinion, Adrian, I think that's right, but I also think I'll add another to it. I think the defenses are catching up to Ben Johnson a little bit. And I feel like if they run a zone and if they literally double team or just watch Amon-Ra, then they shut down Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a medium mid-range passer, play action, and they're just saying, okay, well, we'll give you the deep stuff, but we're going to keep you. No, excuse me. We'll give you the underneath stuff. We're just as long as we just take JMO out, then beat us because we're just going to double team Amon-Ra. I don't know. I feel like the
With
defenses are
that,
coming
I
up.
think Tampa played us just the way we played Rams last week.
Yes.
We gave Stafford all the easy stuff, but we closed shop downfield.
Very true. Very true. I mean, at the end of the day, like from my perspective, is like it's really hard to beat a team three times in a row.
True.
Like we saw Tampa, we've seen them three times this past year. That's like a division, rival with three times like that. So, at some point they were going to catch our number and they got us
There's
yesterday.
some truth to that.
Old NFC Central right there, man. Tampa.
I think Jared played a little scared too. I think he was scared to throw, and I don't know why, because like those defensive backs like are second stringers, and I don't know. He just looked scared. He did not look comfortable. But I think that played into it.
So, what do you think of the play calling, man? What do you think of Ben Johnson?
I think there were some plays that were just for instance that Gibbs play at the end of the fourth towards the end of the game. Beautiful. Even the announcers were like, oh, what kind of formation is this? And I was confused about what was going on. But what a beautiful play call. But then the exact opposite as well. There's some calls that are just like, what are you doing? But I mean, I'm not trashing the man, but just they're just you have that going right where what me and Keel pre-talked about was you run that play with Gibbs and you stopped running. I think Jared threw three straight passes after that. I'm like, why? Why? The overtime, man, what we did last week, just run the ball down their throat, man. You have Monty. Like, just run it with them.
Here's what I wrote down about our offensive coordinator. This was his game plan. I wrote it down here. Pass. Pass, 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 pat, run, pass, pass, pass. So and then just multiply that throughout the whole game. It was
Times what 55, right, Caleb? We
a
got 55 passes.
55 passes by
Yeah,
Jared Goff.
dude. Oh, dude, I was
Compared to, I
yelling on
believe,
TV. It's like
37 runs or 32. Yeah, it was not
I
balanced.
didn't understand that when Jared's just not having a good game. And your play calling calls for more passing. He was empty on the, outside the on the
Yes,
gun for so many plays.
so many.
And I was like, what are we doing? Like, Vita Vea goes out with a knee injury beginning of the third quarter. Like, that's just like the gates are open now, dude. Run it down the throat. And we're just throwing these little screen passes to the outside, and they're just, linebackers were just stopping it. It was frustrating the way he called this game.
Was almost like it was a Jim Schwartz type game yesterday. Just early, like Lions, classic Stafford, Calvin. You know who the ball is going to.
Good
Like,
point.
you know what's gonna happen. He's stepping back. You know who he's looking for.
I love Schwartz.
Me too. But
I'll always love Schwartz, especially after the handshake gate.
oh yeah, man, the handshake gate, man. We were just talking about that
You
last week.
never slap me on my back like that, Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
All right, guys. So listen, we have a new portion of the podcast, the True Grit Pod, coming at you right now. We got a question from our listener. The first question coming in this year is from Instagram handle Zach_Griffer. You know who you are. The question is, so far into the season, what is the Lions' biggest weakness and how would you address it?
Ourselves.
Bro, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's the offense. It's insane.
Oh.
Who would have thought we'd be saying this after week two? But, I mean, the defense looks – I'm so proud of that defense, man. They've come such a long way.
That's why I felt bad for yesterday with the defense, man. They kept us in that game.
Yep, they did. But
so we all agreeing with that?
Specifically, the wide receivers and the offense. Like, they just – I just feel weary about how they're meshing right now with Jared Goff. That I feel like that's our weakness. Like if Amon-Ra St. Brown goes down, which I mean he did at the end of the game, but he's gonna be fine. I think he'll play this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like it was. I think it was what I thought it was. You always think the worst because so many injuries yesterday. I think Jefferson went out, Cup went out. So you're just. You're waiting for the for our shoe to fall, but looked like it was just a major cramp, man. Well, when you get 20 balls thrown at you.
Oh, didn't he roll up on his ankle? They zoomed in on his ankle when he went down.
Yeah.
And that last one too.
Maybe it's a minor tweak or something on the ankle, but.
Well, that's thing too. If that was that play because that ball should not have been thrown to him, and he wasted that gifted timeout. But yeah, I agree with this is the offense. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yep. You know, Zach, that's a great question. Before yesterday's game, none of us would have said the offense and wide receivers, I don't think. I mean, what did we put up against the Rams last week? 30? 29?
It was like 23 to 20, was it?
Was it that low?
It was low. Like, even last week, we were like, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's rusty.
But, you know. 620. 26-20. But when you see Jared connect with J-Mo last week, it was just like, all right, yeah, our offense is going to cook. You know, they can't even stop us, and they stopped Amon-Ra, and they stopped Laporta. So I felt good last week. This week, I agree with you fellas. And my weak link is Jared Goff. It's not J-Mo. It's not Amon-Ra. It's not even Laporta. I still think the defenses is doing something to shut down Laporta. I think it's Jared Goff. I'm scared that it's Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Which is mind blowing because the man threw for 307 yards.
Yeah.
But two picks and the red zone, man.
They were in the red zone 7 times and they came away with some field goals. That is, I mean, what's mind 7 boring. Times 7? What's 7 times 7, fellas?
Dude, 49.
Let's do some math. 49 points.
So they left 42 on the board. But anyhow. Yeah, I think they're going to be focusing on red zone this week at practice for sure.
All right, boys. Do you want to break down the last drive in overtime, or did we cover that pretty much? The only thing that I wanted to say about that last, first of all, once again, great defense to get the ball back with under a minute, 3 timeouts, right? You get the ball back. That's crazy. That alone is insane, right?
With Derek Barnes almost picking them off, too.
Sweet poetic justice. 2 interceptions, back-to-back games against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
Derek. That would have ended it.
So close.
Oh.
That's the thing. We had so many opportunities that the defense gave us back. Like, they're saving our butts and giving us opportunities.
Yep.
And it just still couldn't get in the end zone.
So – last drive, the only thing I have to say is they get down. Yes, they did not do what we wanted to, but they were with 2 shots at it, 3 shots maybe. Last play of the game, Jared Goff. What the heck? I can throw a 30-yard ball to the end zone. The dude throws a slant pass to the water boy of the team. Granted, we all love him, right? Hometown hero, Mr. Help me out. Little white guy. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy.
CK85.
CK85. And he throws a slant. I mean, give your guys a chance.
Yep.
Give that new wide receiver that you just picked up from Patrick. Denver, who's 6'4", 6'5", give him a chance. Yep. Give him a jump ball.
What? Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but like no, what I wanted is like, dude, throw it in the end zone, and if we don't catch it, hope for a pass interference
Thank
in
you.
the end zone to give you another, you know, another untimed
Down.
Play closer.
On the one.
Just throw it in the end zone. Like,
yep. And he had that pass to JMO, and JMO, he tried his best to keep his foot in bound, man. What a play by JMO to try, man. He tried so hard close to keep that.
Game of inches.
Hey, he knew. Jared Goff's look on his face, he knew that he missed a great catch.
I don't know, bro. I think he looked at JMO like, Amon-Ra would have got his foot down, Chief.
Yeah, probably.
He did not look happy after that. All right. We're coming to the end of our pod. We got two questions. This is going to be a normal on every pod. It is the who gets the game ball and who fumbled the game ball. Does that sound good, fellas? You want to do something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's start with Clay. Who gets the game ball, in your opinion?
Hutch, man. He kept us in the game. The way he just moved off the line, he was shocked by how Tampa covered him. Like, you guys aren't changing anything. Okay. Like, hands down, he single-handedly kept us in that game.
Adrian?
Well, not to go with Hutch because he's obvious, but another guy I give a game ball to is DJ Reader. He was taking those double teams, man. And I think that he gave the opportunity, like people were focused on him, that he gave the opportunity so that Hutch could be a little more free.
It's interesting. I didn't see his box score. Maybe you can shoot me that later. Yeah. I didn't know what he'd. I saw him out there. I saw him taking switches with Levi.
Yeah.
But yeah, if that is the case, if he's eating up double teams to where Hutch can do that every week, boys, we're into something.
Yep.
Back, man, it's gonna look nice.
Yeah, and shout out to the front office, man. I'm a Jersey guy. Those jerseys are fire, man. Little new era with Barry, dude. Those jerseys are they're nice.
They're hot.
just let's win them.
Yeah, you know what? As much as I want to try to do somebody outside the box, I'm just gonna agree with Clay. I think. I mean, I've never seen in my Lions career somebody get 4.5, and I'm going to give him 5 because I don't think Levi did anything. I think he was going down. So I'm going to give that guy sacks on the day, and which takes him to 6 for the year. It's probably going to be like 5.5. But
how many do you think he'll get like the whole season this year?
Oh, he's on pace for 15 plus at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's well ahead of 15 plus. So and that said a lot too, Kilo. I'm glad you brought that up because this is from Lions, who I've watched since I was a kid. That's Robert Brisset, Luther Ellis. Like, these are, those guys didn't do what Hutch did yesterday. So crazy, man.
Well, you said on pace. I said 15. You said that's way off. So, in your thinking, how many games we have left? We have 15 games?
Mm hmm.
So he's on, in Clay's opinion, Hutch is on pace to hit 75 sacks for the year. So,
give me a sack a game, bro. Give me a sack a game.
You think he's going to get 5 sacks a game? I'm trying to be like, all right, you know, he can get 10 more. Clay thinks he can get 75 sacks for the year. Everybody.
Man, he's going to like run away with it, man. Oh, give him that God. SP.
If that happens, he could just retire right now and be the greatest defensive end of all time.
Who fumbled?
Who fumbled? Adrian, start with you.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff fumbled. He didn't make the best decision there on, but you know, it's like they say, like the team that makes the most mistakes often loses. And we had 2 turnovers because of those 2 interceptions to that one that we got from Brian Branch. But that last interception to, I don't know who that was to, I feel like that just kind of took some hope away from the game that it wasn't going to end well. So I think he fumbled it.
Yeah. Play?
If MCDC is going to fall on the sword, I'll go with him. I think he fumbled the bag on. However, maybe he's covering for the special team coach. I think we talked about the special team coach earlier. Maybe he's falling the sword for that guy. So I'm thinking somewhere between him and the special team coach.
I like
because that's 3 points, man. You're kicking a field goal in the fourth.
Right. True.
So I like this Who Fumbled segment because we're all going to have somebody different, and I appreciate all of those. I agree with all of those. I'm just going to throw another one into the hat. Offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. I know that the head of the snake is Dan Campbell, but when you just won a game last week by running the ball down the throat of a defensive team, and the next week you come out saying, well, let's throw 90% of the time, 80% of the time, whatever it is. I don't understand that. I think sometimes Ben Johnson gets in the way of himself. I think he overthinks it.
Yes.
He complicates it. He's thinking three steps ahead when he should be thinking two steps ahead. And that oftentimes messes up the team. Especially Adrian brought out, you know, Vita Vea went out. Who's the other guy, their other starter that's out? Clancy. With those two guys out and our offensive line being the best line in the NFL, supposedly, we cannot run. We cannot run Monty at will. For Dan Campbell not to go to offensive coordinator Ben Johnson and say, we need to start running more after that first half.
Yeah.
He fumbled. So that's my pick. Yep. We got Ben Johnson, we got Dan Campbell, and we have Jared Goff all fumbling the ball, and I agree with all of them.
Yep,
all right, boys, final thoughts.
Final thought for me is I'm glad hopefully we're learning a lesson very early in the season so that we have a stronger rest of the season. I'm not panicking. Like, you know, all the great teams, I mean, Kansas City started rough last year. They won the Super Bowl. So I still totally bought into this team. They just made some mistakes where they shot themselves in the foot. They'll bounce back.
Okay.
Same. It got away. When you look at these stats and at the end of the season, you're going to say, we're going to look at it and be like, we lost that game. I got away from us. But like you said, it's the NFL, not panicking. A loss will get you regroup faster than escaping. So I think it's going to really bring the team together and be like, all right, guys, let's get back to line football.
Amen, brother. Well, my final thought is we got, 6 days before we're in Arizona playing a hot, hot team that just whooped up on the team that we just beat in week one barely. So we got Kyler Murray.
Make you feel
Murray.
Better about beating the Rams last week because they look bad.
I mean, guys, think about how easy the NFL is in a game of inches. We are staring down the barrel of 0-2. Baltimore could be by an inch, could be staring down the barrel of 2-0, but they're 0-2. I mean, this is a game of inches. It's a game of inches, guys.
So, Kansas City and the same, there could be 0-1.
Oh, yeah.
0-2 as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Cincinnati. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Crazy, man.
Fourth and 16, you know, the refs are out there in Kansas City throwing flags like it's Mardi Gras. So
4:25 kickoff too. So all those who have meetings that day, we all get a.
Yep. Everybody enjoy the full meeting night, the full meeting day, rest. And then we'll kick off another episode next week, Monday night. This is the All Grit Podcast signing off. I am your host, Caleb Manuel, along with Clay and Adrian. Fellas, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everybody.